DHZ, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Why are you laughing? You always laughing. We've already clarified this.
I swear, it's like it doesn't matter how many times I'll listen to this. It always sounds like he's saying something he shouldn't be. I love this.
He loves his podcast. That's all we need to know right there.
That's all that matters.
Welcome in another week, another edition. The BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking more Saints and nonsense than anyone needs to know about. So grab a drink, sit back, because from Ruston to Monroe, where are those other places, Tomas?
Grambling.
Come on, give me another one. Eros.
Eros.
Uh-huh. That's all you got? Okay, that's all I got right now.
Yeah, right.
We're going to be doing a lot of this Saints football talk. So you grab a drink, sit back, relax, and we're going to do this thing BS and beer style. Listen, I want to get right to it. We're having a kind of like a job fair thing right now. We're taking applications for the bandwagon. I got this application. I saw it on Twitter. Here it goes. The bandwagon transfer form. Okay, you got to put the name of the bandwagoner.
Yeah.
Okay, so for all you guys out there that are signing up for this, that's your name. That's your personal name. It's, yeah. You know, you want to make sure that you get that right.
Don't write state your name in there. That's...
Yeah, right. Some of this stuff can be confusing, okay? And then next it says date of birth. You don't want to get that correct, you know, because any kind of errors that we find, it could delay your process, your application process.
Now,
right?
Just make sure that if you're a judge and you're older, that you don't put down too old a date in case you're dating those teenage girls. But go ahead.
I'm not even going there. Although this seems, it says sex and do not put occasionally.
Often. Yeah.
For me.
Do not put occasionally.
Often, sorry.
All right. So you got it. It's either, the thing is, it's apparently nowadays it's not male or female.
No.
So just leave that blank for now. We'll get back
neutral.
To you. We'll leave it there. Okay. So we got, what the reason for transfer? Was it a player trade? Your team became unpopular. Team has a losing record, or other. So just whichever one applies to you, you're going to want to go ahead and put that in there.
I see.
Then it goes on.
So if you're a Cowboy fan, that would be the
right. You'd want to put Cowboy fan. Yeah. Matter of fact, if you just put either Carolina or Cowboy fan, nothing else needs to be filled out. That's self-explanatory.
Automatically means all of the above.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Then you want to see, are you a first-time bandwagoner? So maybe you jumped on back in 2009 and you jumped off, you know, the last few years. Yep. And you want to put that down because I think you get credits towards things.
Oh, I see.
Maybe valuable prizes and
carries
stuff.
Over. Yeah,
it carries like over. That, yeah. You know, it like you can get grandfathered in. Rollover points. Yeah. So kind of like air miles and stuff. All right. So we're going to make sure.
No break in service.
Exactly. So you want to do that. Then you're going to want to also fill out your bandwagoner history. You know, team association, what years and reasons for leaving. Those things are important for processing of the application. And then how long you plan to stay. Now, sometimes you think you know, we've all been there. You rent a house. You think, hey, you know, we're going to be here for a couple of years.
I kept my season tickets even when I moved to Kentucky.
I'm just saying in general, when you're filling out an application, sometimes you think, you know what, we're going to probably stay here for at least 2 years until we get finished with this or that.
I see.
And sometimes it's shorter than that or sometimes it's longer.
Yeah,
so it's,
I know.
You're going to want to get that right. Because, you know, there might be another bandwagoner.
I know.
And we don't have room for them.
That's right.
We're going to need to know that you're going to be leaving here in the next, season.
Leave that space open for
exactly.
the next guy.
Exactly. So anyway, that I think is important that all you guys out there who are looking to jump on the bandwagon need to fill out your proper paperwork.
Yep.
And get that correct. The second thing, I think we just need to jump right into the good and bad and ugly. The ugly is, I know it's cold, but when Drew Brees is licking his fingers, I just think it's absolutely, I mean, when you're sticking your hand up the the ass crack of another man. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you should be licking your fingers like that. I feel like that's ugly, and we need to, I don't know if we need to start a forum letter or something.
And
file
I can't
a complaint.
Figure out whether it's worse to be licking them before or after that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if maybe Unger asked them to do that. You know, it's like, hey.
Well, maybe the people in charge of the uniforms might be using Febreze. Or Downy. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the fresh Downy.
That could be it. Okay, then I could be going in the completely wrong direction.
I'm just saying.
He might just be like, you know, it's like, man, this is like April Fresh.
Yeah, April Fresh, exactly right.
Having said that, I really doubt it. If you've ever been out
Ocean
on a football
Breeze.
Field.
Perfect for him.
I mean, the sweat dripping down the man's backside, and you're just over there like, and, you know, I know he don't notice he's doing it, but it's like, it's just hard. I'm like, is he really licking his fingers right now? Or are you doing that? Listen, you know, it's one of those things, too. Young guys won't get this. When you get older, you care less about what other people think, and you got that bug right there, and it's a little crusty. And you know, you're like right there in the middle of whatever. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it. And you just go for it. You're like, hey, I don't got time to mess with this. I got a little whistle going on right now, and I need that thing gone.
Or you have something wedged up in there, you just
If you got to get it out. You know, and listen, you know, as you get older, comfort over style. You know, if you're sitting there and you got a little wedge going up in there, and you got comfort over style, it's like, listen, and you know that
I will never shake your hand again.
I'm not saying I do it. I'm just making some observations, okay? Just observations.
Oh man!
I tell you what, let's go ahead get the show started.
Yeah, let's do something.
Let's do some Saints talk
on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated. It's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Sounds like we're feeding horses in here, man. I mean, he thinks he can just bring a big cup of ice and start munching.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, I just want to clarify, y'all trying to point fingers. I didn't say I did those things. I'm saying these are observations that I made. So, our second place seed in the NFC short-lived.
Yeah.
We all know we lost to the Minnesota Vikings the first week. We're sitting here trying to figure out, and actually, I don't know if I ever truly clarified why we were in second place, even though we had the same amount of wins. But Tomas, he found a device that he keeps in his pocket.
No,
I'm talking about his phone. And so he clarified. You want to share with the folks exactly why we're no longer in second? We're now the third seed.
So the easy clarification is that now we've all done our bye weeks. Now, because we've done our bye weeks, then Minnesota now has played the same number of games as we have played. Therefore, since we have the same record of 7-2 with the same number of games, then Minnesota now is ahead of us because on head-to-head, they have beaten us. Same reason why, or similar reason, why we're ahead of 7-2 Rams. Because the two teams have not played each other yet, but in conference, the Saints have a 5-1 record. The Rams have a 4-2 record. So, therefore, we're ahead of the Rams. Now, of course, we play the Redskins this week and then the Rams the following week. So, that could clarify that really quick if, you know, depending on our Rams game. But we'll talk about that during the show.
Well, and I think there's plenty, tons of football left to be played.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of these teams, matter of fact, the Vikings, I believe, have a very tough schedule coming up. So, we're going to find out. Like, Heath and I were talking about just not super impressed by the Vikings. And I don't know why. They're playing well. They're winning.
Yeah.
I think maybe just on paper, I should speak for myself, but on paper, I look at the Vikings and I'm just not impressed.
You think, well, they have Case Keenum playing, okay, who's a career backup guy that never could seize an opportunity. Or Bradford, who's another guy that, you know, always seems
injured,
to, you know, And then they lost Dalvin Cook. And so you're thinking, how is this team still playing that well? You know,
but
same
they are
reason the Saints, because they play depending on their defense.
Yeah,
now, the big difference between Minnesota and the Saints, we have a quarterback who's a Hall of Famer, they don't,
right?
Well, and also this week, though, they dropped on I mean, 40 some odd points or close to it on a pretty good Washington Redskins team.
Yeah.
On the road. So their offense is a little bit better than we thought. Hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Dance party. You know, he comes out and he don't know. We start doing a dance party. He's not even participating. Just sitting there. Listen, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, yeah. Sports Talk, 97.7, Saints Talk all day long. Listen.
We're on the blowtorch, so that means from Mississippi to Texas. Don't forget that now.
Hey, listen.
Forget about those little towns in between.
I'm just giving you the facts. That's all I'm giving you. It's a blowtorch.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just like going viral, I'm not sure exactly what the numbers take to clarify or quantify as a blowtorch.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing is blowtorch material here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, hey, don't forget, a little bit later, we got John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles coming up. We're going to do our good, bad, and the ugly. There is so much. The Saints are just, they beat the brakes.
Yeah.
Beat the brakes off of the Buffalo Bills. Going into this game, I thought to myself, listen, this is going to be maybe our toughest test since we start our winning streak.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that just felt like, man, Tyrod Taylor cannot beat the Saints the way they're playing. As long as the Saints keep playing the way they have in this seven-game stretch, I just cannot see the Saints losing to them.
Yeah.
What are you eating, chips over there? What's going on, huh? I mean, I'm trying to talk here, getting distracted. But
you're not saying anything important, so I'm
No, that's
not paying
a good point. I mean, rarely do I. But here's the thing. We get in this game, and it wasn't even a game. It wasn't close. I thought it'd be more of a defensive struggle. I thought
the Saints
would use their newfound offensive strategy of running the ball and throwing it when necessary. And that it would be a struggle, and towards the second half, we would start pulling away because we have Drew Brees, and we'd make a couple of more plays than they made, and win the game. You know, I thought that it would be a 13 to, you know, New Orleans would have 24, 26 to 13, but New Orleans just kept going, and Buffalo, they couldn't even slow it down.
No. Well, I think that was the difference, you know. Like you, I didn't think Tyrod Taylor was going to be able to do much against the Saints, but I did not expect the Saints' offense to be the juggernaut that it was against Buffalo's defense.
And the thing is, it's not a surprise. We saw it. It's just now. I mean, I think for any Saints fan, I'm a clue myself, that I'm like, oh wow, we run the ball really well now. My eyes are opening that we are now a running team. Andres Pete is an absolute monster in the running game.
Yeah.
And when that guy starts pulling, and he did a lot of it, I guess the game plan, they were using angle blocks. I mean, he was destroying guys. And when you see 330 pounds moving as quickly as that man's moving, and it's moving this way, and he's moving that way, and he's just crushing people. He's crushing little guys in the open field because they can't get out of the way because he's actually athletic, Tomas.
And then he's inspiring some of the other players because on that play where we ran the ball all the way down the field, and finally, by the goal line, Drew goes back to pass the ball.
Oh, my God, that play.
You know, and, okay, not him. No, not him. Oh, maybe I should roll out. And no, not him. And Drew said, well, okay, I'm going to go ahead and run. As soon as Armstead said, you're running? Okay. He tattooed that linebacker.
I mean, took him off his feet.
He flew in the air, landed on his butt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. See, I think he's inspired because you're seeing all those pancakes by Pete. And wait, the other part that people didn't talk about, yeah, he hit that first guy and launched him in the air. Then he hit a second guy.
He did. He hit a second guy.
Huh?
I tell you, it seemed to me, and this is one of those things you hear people say that, like, to talk about a team quitting. And I wondered, and we were talking, like, man, I don't know if Buffalo they just don't want to play. They quit. But then we bring in a backup running back later in the game, Edmonds. And while he had the nice long run, he got stuffed two or three times, and we hadn't seen that most of the game.
Yeah.
What it does is make you realize just how good Kamara and Ingram really are. You know, again, not taking anything away from Edmonds. He ended up having a long run, and quite frankly, I think by that point, I think they did kind of maybe not play as hard because on that touchdown run, if I'm going to break that down on Twitter here in the next day or two, there wasn't a lot of effort on that play. But prior to that, I mean, everything's a 6-yard run, an 8-yard run, a 10-yard run. And then Edmonds gets there and he gets stuffed a couple of times. And I kind of scratched my head and said, well, maybe they didn't quit. Maybe our backs, and we had some backup offensive linemen come into the game.
Yeah,
that's correct.
All of a sudden, you know, like those guys didn't quit. And I'm talking about Buffalo. They just were getting manhandled.
Yeah, yeah.
That's correct.
All right. So now it's time for a little bit of a good, bad, and the ugly. Are you ready?
No.
No?
Go ahead.
What about you?
Yeah,
okay, so we're about 50% here.
Yeah.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, the ugly. I guess that was already stated. I didn't have to restate it, but I did anyway, just for anybody out there who might have just tuned in their radio like 2 seconds after. Anyway.
That's right.
So, Heath, give me your good. That's such a, I mean, I don't even know where to go with that question. Just give me something that you thought was good. Maybe something that might not have been the most obvious thing. How about that?
Might not have been the most obvious thing.
That's what he was going to pick, though, was the obvious thing. So why'd you have to say that?
I'm sorry. Now I threw him for a loop. He's like, man, I was about to say the running game. And
I got nothing. No, I mean, I'm gonna go with Morstead being back at Saints training camp, back on Airline Drive watching this game, apparently, because
– Oh, yeah. Late in the fourth quarter, the Saints were about to punt. It was fourth down.
Yeah.
And they were looking for him. I think he was in the shower.
Yeah.
And
they couldn't find
him. I saw what he texted out. He said because of the game, he put himself on the inactive list.
Yeah.
There are reports that the Saints may go to him and ask him for that weekly check back. And, I mean, they look, you know, we're working on some kind of commission here.
Yeah.
He didn't punt the entire
game. Well, hold on now. There have been plenty of games where he's punted 10 times.
So it averages out, you're saying? All right. We'll have to get his agent involved and
make
him work out the details.
I'm just happy. He got a little extra rest. That's all. Rest up the leg now. So,
that's right.
Tomas?
My good? I'm going to pick something that I haven't necessarily heard a lot of people talk about. You were talking about how you were very impressed with the way that the game turned out for us. Well, I'm going to tell you what impressed me the most. Defensive discipline. That was my good. Because if you watch, and I've watched several of the plays again, right? The reason Tyrod Taylor couldn't do anything, the reason after the first run that McCoy couldn't do anything, besides a crappy offensive play, play calling, but beyond that, it's because we stayed in our lanes. Our defensive line didn't let anybody get around the outside. When you saw Shady break into the middle, and you said, oh, he's going to go for a run. He turned to the outside. Boom. Lattimore was waiting for him. Knocked him right back down. So we all saw for once, and I think this is the greatest improvement of our defense. It's not just that we got rookies that have really stepped it up. I think what we're looking at here is a disciplined defense. So you're not going to beat us with trick plays. You're going to have to actually beat us. And that's what I think the good was in this game.
Well, there was a comment by Cam Jordan, and there was a play where and it wasn't the first drive, but later in the game, Tyrod got out of the pocket, and he picked up a first down. And Cam Jordan said, I got a little bit too – I forget the adjective he used, but maybe too hungry for the sack. And so when you have an athlete, it just shows when people – oh, he's not getting pressure on him. Sometimes the key is not to sack him. It's just to compress the pocket.
Correct.
And
Correct.
Keep him in there
Correct.
And force him to be a passer. And Cam Jordan, very condescending kind of, he said, well, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but, you know, like keep him in the pocket, make him a passer and see how that worked. You know, so, you know, there are guys that, listen, the whole thing is just keep them in the pocket because the only time they really can hurt you is when they get outside the pocket and now they're playing sandlot football.
Right. And it's not just getting out the pocket. The thing is staying in your lane. Because even if he gets outside the pocket, if your linebacker is in the right lane, he's still got no place to go. He might pick up two or three, but he's not going to burn you for 20 or 30.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and it's about that discipline, knowing this is my job, here's where I have to be, I'm not going to leave here no matter what. So
I'm gonna say my good.
All right, what's your good?
And again, I'm not going to pick the obvious things like the running game or the offensive mm-hmm. line. Late in the game, I think we scored, or we were close to scoring, because that was when Sheldon Rankins got the interception.
Yeah.
And we scored. I even tweeted out, let's see, because I feel like in a couple of games we got a big lead early. And I said, let's see if they can maintain some maturity and play the entire fourth quarter, or second half, I should say, with this big lead. And I'll be the first to say, whether young or old, it's kind of human nature when you kind of to start coasting when you get that big lead and you everything's going your way. And I think for the entire second half, they put the hammer down.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until late in the fourth quarter, the touchdown that, again, you know, matter of fact, last week it was the same thing. A garbage time touchdown to make the score look even closer than it really was. And it's really phenomenal that the Saints are capable of doing this. This defense is playing unbelievable football. I actually have some stats here, but they're kind of raw. And to go over them, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. And it's talking about how many touchdowns were scored after the game was out of hand. And for the most part, if you go and take out these insignificant touchdowns, like the one at the end of this game, the one we had last week after the muff, I mean, the Saints defense in this winning streak is playing absolutely dominant defense. I think we were all reluctant to call it dominant. We're like, hey, they're playing pretty well. And, you know, because there's a certain point of we've been conditioned to think that the Saints defense is, well, okay, they're playing pretty well. But but if you put the numbers, they are playing absolutely lights out. And if they can continue at this pace and the offense is playing the way it's playing and the way the offense has always played, while it's playing a little bit different style, it's still a very good offense, very efficient, very effective.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to beat us. I'm looking past the Redskins this week.
Yeah.
I shouldn't. But
let's hope the team's
I'm not on the team. I can look past them if I want. I really don't see the Rams being able to hold up. And I don't even want to say if what we're seeing is real. I think it's real.
Yeah.
I think this team is absolutely dominant. Now, one of the problems, one of the things, the whole, you know, what do you call it? Too soon, maturing too soon, blooming peaking too soon. But I don't know if they're peaking. They're just playing the same ball they have over the last seven games.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, going back to what you were saying before, if you take those first two games away and just look at the seven games, we saw the statistics. I mean, they're what? They're tops in the league, aren't they, over the course of those seven games? And then, and that's not even with taking out the slop touchdowns. Like the Detroit game was one in particular. You know, you can't call all of that garbage time touchdowns at the end because Detroit really
– Right.
You know, but, man, I mean, that was a huge hit towards the overall – If the Saints had continued to play the rest of that game the way they did when they took their foot off the brake or off the gas and then Detroit came back.
Who knows?
I mean.
And here's the thing, too, is maybe that Detroit game where I'm sitting here talking about let's see some maturity, we haven't seen it since. And so maybe that was the game where the coaches could grab these players, especially the young guys, and say, this is not college anymore, fellas.
Right.
If you let your foot off the gas in the pros, you will get beat.
Right.
And so we haven't seen it since.
Yeah.
You know, seen some mistakes, seen some muff punts, seen some, you know, things that you'd like to clean up on. But I just talked about peaking too soon. It was a thought. But quite frankly, I don't think this team has peaked yet. I think they're capable of even more, especially on defense.
Well, many of the players thought that this was the game they just played was one of the best games they've played as far as bringing everything together. But again, looking over the film, I have to tell you, it was a good game. Defensively, I think it's probably one of the best games they've played, no doubt about that. But I think they still have room for improvement on both offense and special team.
Absolutely.
Now, I will let you know this for sure. I am sitting Snead down in my fantasy team. I'm done.
Yeah.
Done, I can't take it anymore.
Hey, I don't know what's going on.
Especially after
that
whooping he took this week.
3 weeks, because some grumpy old somebody or other.
Yeah.
This grumpy old troll, baby.
Again, because I had zippity doo dah points for Snead.
Yeah.
So, but again, this is why I think we still have room for improvement. Now, you know, we lost Lasko.
Yeah.
And
apparently everything's okay. He's going to be out for the season.
A bulged disc, so he had an operation to fix it. And so he's out for the rest of the season.
But his career, not in jeopardy.
No, so he'll be back. I have a bulging disc. I don't know. I've never gotten it fixed, but okay.
So are you planning a comeback, a return?
At 62, right. I think I still have the legs. But anyway, what I was going to say is that a couple of things that happened. Lasko got hurt. The entire team went out there. You could see that this team really has a unified idea of team, you know? And then the extra thing to put out there is that we just signed a guy today to replace Lasko. And he's a guy who actually was supposed to be Shady's backup, in Buffalo. It was a surprise cut at the end and got picked up by Denver for their taxi squad because nobody, he cleared all the waivers. So now the Saints are signing him. But his salary at Denver on a taxi squad was half, you know, was $520,000.
Okay.
So I'm presuming we signed them for the same amount.
No, we got a two-year deal.
Oh,
so I don't have all the details.
Oh, okay.
But we signed them for a two-year deal. And so obviously this is a signing that they expect the guy to be more than just.
Well, he's got statistics from the first year he played at Buffalo. He had, you know, a couple of touchdowns, some yardage. I mean, this is not a slouchy guy, apparently. So might be interesting.
Be interesting to see what he's about. Listen, the Saints defense tied for fifth in points allowed per game at 18.3 and eighth in the league in total defense. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about, well, over the last seven games because we like to exclude those first two games where we gave up a lot of points and a lot of yards and whatnot.
Right.
But having said that, even including them, we've moved up to fifth in the league in points and eighth in total defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, significant improvement.
All right, so when we come back, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles, and then we'll be back with some more Saints talk. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew 97.7. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I wake up every evening.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew here at the SEC Sports Pub, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, and I have John Hendrick from the Canal Street Chronicles with me. John, this team, it's incredible. There are so many things that had to go right for the Saints. We had offensive line that we need to improve on in the offseason. Linebackers needed improvement. Defensive backfield needed improvement. How did we get so many things right in one offseason?
Well, you know, I think you have to kind of go back before that and think about when Jeff Ireland was brought in, when Dennis Allen took over for Rob Ryan. I mean, I'm a firm believer that they started this whole entire process, you know, maybe a couple of seasons ago. Obviously, they were trying to make do with what they had. And look, I mean, you look at the drafts over the past 2 years, and it's not just the draft class. It's all the undrafted free agents, like Ken Crawley's that are stepping up to the plate, or Devontae Harris being more of a special teams guy, or, you know, even finding somebody like Will Lutz, who's going to be a guy that the Ravens so optimistically said, hey, y'all need a kicker? Here's a kicker, you know? So I think between that and the combination of really knocking this draft out of the park, that's spelled all the difference in the world for this Saints team.
Yeah, it's just when you look at how dominant they were on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, I start evaluating like how I thought they would be a better team, but then you have to start looking at all the pieces, the puzzle that was put together that's now starting to form a picture of a team that arguably, I'll go as far as saying you could argue they're the best team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and, you know, the scary thought is, look, if they have another, you know, obviously we want to worry about this season, but you have another draft next year like you did this year, and then you pile on last year. I mean, you're looking at a franchise team right here, which is something unheard of for the Saints team because they usually try to patch it with free agents, all this good stuff. But look, when you talk about the best teams in the NFL, the Saints are in the conversation, easily top five, probably top three behind the Eagles and Rams. And, you know, it's incredible that the NFC is doing so well this year. I mean, over 10 teams that are over 500 right now, and that's just kind of an attribute to just where everything's at. And, you know, the Saints are sitting high and mighty right now, but they're going to have to worry about the Panthers. They're nipping at their heels, and you really can't dismiss Atlanta right now. So they still got to take care of business, and we still got a lot of football left to play.
Absolutely. We still right about the halfway mark, and you're looking at guys from the NFC South that – early in the season, I kind of thought that the Carolina Panthers were going away, and you watch them play, and it wasn't really impressive. But somehow or another, they have seven wins just like the Saints do, although their bye week, I believe, is next this coming Sunday. So they have one more loss than the Saints do. Now, one of the things I want to get back to as far as the Saints go, it's the evolution of a team that went from almost a pure passing team to now what looks like a dominant running offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this all starts with Mark Ingram, and it's crazy to think that, you know, we talked about it before, but, you know, Adrian Peterson, when he came onto the scene, so many people had this misconception, especially the national media, saying, oh, he's here to take Mark Ingram's job, and that's kind of what fans are expecting. Because Mark Ingram, no matter what, since he's got here, he's got a lot of ridicule from fans and the media and all that good stuff. But I think Mark Ingram, you know, I said it before and we'll keep saying it, he's the de facto number one running back for this team. He's on pace for another 1,000-yard season. But I think the real bread and butter is him with Alvin Kamara. Him just evolving and maturing so fast is spilled all the difference in the world for this offense. And look for that offensive line to really, you know, look, we were told that Buffalo's front seven was stout. I mean, what, number eight run defense in the NFL, and the Saints gashing for almost 300 yards and six rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's unheard of. That's like peewee football.
Right. And that's definitely high school football stuff whenever you when you look at it. An NFL team that gets rushed on for 300 yards. It didn't look like they even belonged on the field with us. Now, coming up, the Redskins. Now, the Redskins are a team that, unlike Tyrod Taylor, they're a team that can make plays on offense, and I didn't think that Buffalo could really hurt the Saints' defense. I didn't think that the game would be that much of a runaway. But here with the Washington Redskins, while I believe we should beat them, I think that they're a team that you really have – you better not be looking past them and thinking about the Rams game the following week.
No, look, and I don't think they will be that in that mindset because, I mean – I think we're at a point right now where now you've won four straight at home. The Superdome's going to be super packed and just full of so much energy over there. And then, you know, obviously winning seven straight, you got Junior Gallette coming to town. Obviously that's going to be a focal point, whether you acknowledge it or not. So that's going to be fun to see for the Saints fans. And look, I just feel that you can't obviously look past the Washington. They are banged up. You know, Jordan Reed didn't play last Sunday. You know, their running backs are hurt right now, but it's still Kirk Cousins, still a smart quarterback, still make things happen. Look, I don't want to say it's shootout potential, but at the same time, this Saints defense has been pretty hot. I'd still expect it to be a pretty competitive type game.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of I still am very reserved in thinking that the Saints are just going to walk into every game and blow them out. Now, so far every week, I've been wrong because they have been doing that. You would have to imagine at some point they can't play at that level. And the Redskins, Kirk Cousins, that offense, the receivers, they seem like a team that can challenge. Now, having said that, we're playing so well in pass defense. I'm starting to look at this, and here's another thing, John. The Redskins' offensive line's been a little banged up. So I think that we in a position where as much as I want to look at the Redskins and say, don't overlook them, I feel like the matchups are in the Saints' favor again.
Yeah, I think your biggest thing that I'd say looking at here off the top of my head is, you know, A.J. Klein exited early, had an ankle injury, and obviously we don't know what's going to happen with that. He was in a walking boot on some of those team photos celebrating after the victory. And, you know, that probably means Manti Te'o is going to play more and Craig Robertson. You know, my big concern would be how they match up against those two tight ends, Jordan Reed and assuming he plays, and Vernon Davis. You know, that's going to be something to keep an eye out because I feel like Marshawn Lattimore obviously is going to hold his own. Marcus Williams probably going to have more safety help over the top, you know, with Ken Crawley. So I think that's where it really is going to be won is kind of that middle of the field. If I'm Washington, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm attacking. And look, I think the Saints defense, even if with the man down or next man up mentality, I still think they've got the depth to prove that they're going to hang with Washington and win this game.
Well, P.J. Williams came in. I felt like he played pretty well. The thing that I noticed about him, I felt like when I was watching the game, you can tell the difference between him and Ken Crawley in the amount that they can get their head back and look back for the ball. PJ, I thought, played well. He played aggressive. He played good in the run game as well. But when I see the coverage, it's funny how you start seeing those little things that make you realize how Ken Crawley, it's not luck. He's playing well, and he's a playmaker. Even in his rookie year, he might give up plays, but a lot of times he was in position and he'd get his head around but still give up a play. This year, he's not giving those plays up as much.
Yeah, and look, I think you got to have a lot of credit for Aaron Glenn there, the secondary coach. I just feel like this Saints defensive line coach, or I'm sorry, just these defensive coaches don't get enough respect, and especially, you know, Ryan Nielsen on the defensive line, helping guys like David Onyemata, Sheldon Rankins get better. Alex Okafor is even looking like just a stellar compliment to, opposite of Cam Jordan, and, you know, Mike Nolan with the linebackers, putting them in position. I mean, they have more former head coaches on their trained or coaching staff than probably a lot of people in the NFL right now, and so it's paying off. And you know, a guy like Ken Crawley, we kind of joked about it and said, you know, even if Delvin Bro could have came back, that I don't think you would have taken out the hot hand with Ken Crawley. And you know, whether you're indifferent or you kind of favor or you're against Crawley, he's playing the best right now for the Saints at cornerback, and that's where he should stay.
Absolutely, and I think that at this point, I don't think there's a question. I think Ken Crawley has earned that spot. Whatever the Saints are doing, it's working. And at this point, I guess it's a moot point because Bro's not coming back. Now, a guy that we might want to see come back, Kenny Vaccaro. Do you have any information, any thoughts on him?
Well, the only things I could say is that, you know, after the game, he says that he was fine last week. I think it was more precautionary with the groin injury, and I think we even talked about it a little bit, that those can kind of be a real nuisance, if you will. And, look, I think it's the right move if it was something that was cautious, you know, to really make sure that he's okay. I mean, there's no rush in having to bring him back or anything like that, but especially with the way P.J. Williams is playing. But as far as I know, it would look like Vaccaro should be close to returning to action.
You know, another guy, speaking of Vaccaro, Von Bell. He's a guy that I wasn't very high on early in the season, but I think sometimes, especially now, there's going to be a new bar set because of all these young guys that are coming in and playing so well. I think Von Bell is starting to settle in early in preseason. I didn't think he was playing as well as I'd hoped for him to play early in the season once we got into the first few games. Again, still seeing, you know, a couple of drop coverages, things that I just wasn't impressed with. I feel like in the last two games, he's really starting to come on and filled that role, the Vaccaro. Well, not necessarily played the exact role as Vaccaro, but the strong safety role, and I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is that you see in a lot of these rookies. I mean, you look at the class from last year, and, you know, Von Bell, obviously, he had some struggles. He had a few things that were just kind of bad, you know, tackling or, you know, whatever the case may be with him. But I feel that, you know, with his team building upon their wins, getting more confidence, I think that's really helping those younger guys to not second-guess and make crazy judgment calls that they might have made, you know, if they felt a little bit more pressure on him and such. But look, Von Bell is one of those guys that, you know, I guess you kind of forget about. He does play more special teams too than the other guys on safety. But I think it's just another tribute to the pieces of the puzzle this team has made, and that, you know, when you look across this defense and you're trying to find a weak link, it's really hard to find that person.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm talking to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, every week you come in, you give such great insight. Thank you very much, man. We're going to talk to you next week.
All right, bud. I appreciate you.
Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Yeah, hurt. I'm not a dog, a beast. They're a beast. I'm not a dog, Yana. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Listen, they're not dogs. They're beasts.
Yeah.
They're beasts.
I'm a beast, Your Honor. Okay? I'm a beast. That's what I do, okay? She knew this when she met me.
She knew that when she met me. Now she got a problem with it. Listen, we did the good. We didn't even get into the bad yet. All right, so I think we better move along. The thing is, I'm just procrastinating.
Search, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we sitting here trying to search for some bad. Yeah. Already got an ugly, though.
Yeah.
Already got an ugly. So, Heath, I'm giving you a second because I know how you like
all
to
right,
do.
All right, I got one.
You got one? Let's got hear the one. Bad.
Josh Hill's fumble.
Okay, let's debate that.
Yeah.
Let's debate
Saints
that.
Saints are driving in. Could have had yet another score.
I mean, you sound like Tomas.
Yeah.
Last week, after we come
I
off
I wanted 50, Dave. Okay.
Last week, after we come off a 30-point win, Tomas like, I'd really like to see a blowout. And I'm like, well, I mean, what do you consider a blowout?
Point win.
Was it 20? Okay, I'm, you know, my mind. Well, anyway, so then I said, what would you define? He says, well, a game that we don't punt. And
that's right.
Here we go.
That's right.
Here we go.
That's what I said.
He did. He called it. He called it. He said, and you know what? Maybe he has to put those expectations up.
Yeah.
You put those expectations on those guys. Tomas, I'm going to expect that every day during every
sure that guy back to Saints headquarters.
Yeah, like Tomas says, we got to go no punt.
Yep. All right.
Well, although, you know, luckily things went our way because they listened to him and they were like, hey, we backed up on our own 20. We're not going to punt because Tomas said so. Things go wrong.
That's why they went out on fourth down.
That's right. Yeah. They're just like, no, we got to hold Tomas. Okay, Tomas.
We're accountable to Tomas, so he can't punt.
Do you have a bad, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
It's a bad that I've already had once before.
All right.
But it's still there, and I'm struggling as to how to repair this bad. Snaps. I'm back to the same thing.
More snaps.
Back to my snaps again. Because I looked at it. Why'd we miss that extra point? Bad snap.
Yeah.
And consistently through the game, every time Drew is back in the shotgun, I'm so concerned. The snaps are low. I'm glad they're not high over his head, don't get me wrong. But Lowe is still throwing off the timing. Luckily, you know, we ran the ball. Okay, but on occasion that we want to throw the ball, that ball's got to be right in his hands. You know, pretty doggone close to it. When he has to bend over to get it, he's got his eyes on the ball. Now he doesn't have his eyes downfield. Even if it's for, you know, 2-3 tenths of a second. Makes a difference. So my bad is, come on, Sean Payton, figure this out. Jump on somebody's basket case. Look, you made the punters catch 500 punt balls last week.
Uh-huh.
I think you need to get the snappers out there snapping 500 balls this week. I
mean, and that's the thing about it. It's more than one. It's not like it's just the one guy.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, 500 balls, that's teeth on a good Saturday night.
Wow.
Listen,
oh my God.
It's not even something that, I mean, maybe they need to put in some overtime.
I threw it up there for you to catch.
Yeah, the softball right there. You laid it up for me. All right. My bad.
All right.
It's still fielding punts.
Yeah.
So there was one where Ginn came running up, and don't get me wrong, wasn't an easy one, but I mean he double clutched it. He bobbled it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the next opportunity, maybe it was anyway. There was another punt return in the first half where he does the deal where he's fair catching it and he has to drop to his knees and it while he caught it cleanly, the fact that he's catching these falls tells me there's a lack of confidence going on.
Yeah.
That he's just not 100%, there's some doubt in his mind because that's what you do. You kind of, same thing with a receiver. You drop a couple of balls, all of a sudden you stop catching the ball with your hands and it turns into trying to basket catch
is
everything.
Is that what just one, to, a case, one a day is?
No,
cases.
One a day. Listen, one a day, he's making that one count.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
one
yes,
a day is
yes,
playing
yes,
ball
yes.
right now.
Yes,
and
yes.
while he still never gets more than one a day, maybe gets the vitamins.
He's a plus iron sometimes.
Yeah. And we're talking about our dude
Coleman,
Brandon Coleman.
Yeah.
It started off where last year we noticed he just catches one ball a game. You know, every once in a while he gets that second one. So
he's
it's one
too
a day
busy
plus
dominating
iron.
And blocking the rest.
That's
of
That's right.
Time.
You know,
right.
And listen, if you pay attention to the guy, he's a good blocker.
Yeah.
So,
he is.
But
he is.
But I think, and I do worry about this. I haven't been as concerned about the kicking game, but we've missed a couple with some snaps, and we got that new snapper who I've yet to learn. It's, you know,
I can't remember his name either.
And the thing, that's all he does. And, I mean, I watched some YouTube videos. The kid just – he goes to snapping camps, and that's all he does. He snaps. He don't play linebacker. He don't play offensive line. He just snaps. If that's all you do, you better be
damn good.
Amazing at
yeah.
it.
Right.
And,
you're taking a position. So.
And I thought he was. You know, and here's the other thing. The Saints have, in the past, talking about the snapper, also having more than – because we've had decent snappers in the past that were – deep snappers
you
in the past. So when he snaps the ball, that maybe they're not great coverage guys or they don't have the speed to get down the field. This guy doesn't, but now he's not snapping the ball very well. All right. So anyway, what I was saying is we need to make sure that these
he started out good though.
These returns.
Yeah.
I think that
yeah.
I'm not as concerned about the deep snapping, but I am a little bit concerned about the punt returns. I mean, it is hard to focus in here. And I'm worried that one of these days, one of them's going to cost us a game if we can't
it
cleanly.
Could.
You know, that's just got to be automatic. It's got to be automatic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So now let's move on to the ugly.
Okay.
Tomas excluded. We're going to keep it totally Saints and on the field. Heath, can you come up with an ugly?
Ah, man. You know. No.
I mean, we have Breeze
really
licking his fingers after putting him up.
That's
up
pretty
up
ugly.
His offense,
that's your ugly.
That is
yeah,
pretty
that's my ugly.
But man, I, you know, in a game like that, I'm really struggling to even think anything that approaches ugly.
Well, you know what? And fair enough. I'll let you off the hook with that one.
Yeah.
All right. Tomas.
All right. Well, my ugly, in watching after this game, in watching all of the NFL Network shows and watching the Fox Sports Network shows and the ESPN shows, I'm taken aback with the lack of respect that we're getting for our team. Now, Baldinger.
Yeah. No, he does good, those videos. All right. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. Please.
Not to be confused with Snappers.
Right.
But Baldinger.
That
is his name.
Yes, it is.
He's the only guy out there who is actually giving us the proper respect.
It's too much in one segment. It's too much in one segment.
I'm telling you.
Respect. I'm sorry.
Respect. He's the only one giving us proper respect. Everybody else is like, well, you know, they played him when they were down. You know, this guy was injured. They didn't have this guy over here. And look, everybody has to deal through injuries. Look at the Cowgirls. Okay, they lose their linebacker, the left tackle, and their running back. Well, guess what? Now they suck. Well, I'm so sorry for them.
Yeah.
You know, Green Bay loses Aaron Rodgers. Guess what? Now they suck. Well, I'm sorry. You know,
nobody was feeling sorry for us when we lost our entire defensive backfield last year.
So, or at the beginning of the season, we lost Armstead, right? We lose Street. We lose our two outside, our two tackles on our offensive line. Anybody cry me a river?
No.
You know? So I don't want to hear all this. Professional football is about what do you do with injuries? How do you get around? New England Patriots, perfect example. How many people they've lost? They don't cry about it. They just say, next man up, let's try to do what we can with what we got. You know, now the Saints have drafted incredibly wisely. We've got some really good players. We did outstanding in signing the few free agents we signed. They were outstanding signed. They've come up Okafor. You couldn't have expected him to play at that
Okafor
level.
Okafor is beasting out, man. Yeah. I mean,
okay. So when you look at that, I believe you have to respect who we are. You know, I don't know if we're a Super Bowl team yet. I don't really think so. But hell, I'm looking at everybody else. I'm thinking, who's going
to
beat us?
That's the thing. No, if I mean you compare it to everybody else, I don't know if you can say we're not.
And if we play New England again, I have news for you. We play New England again, we beat them.
It's a different game.
We play Minnesota again, we beat them. So now you tell me, who's going to beat us? I will tell you who, because I'm scared this week, I'll tell you truthfully. I'm scared of the Redskins because the only people who can beat us is us.
Right.
And if we start thinking ahead to the Rams, or if we get too full of ourselves that, hey, we got seven in a row, then the Redskins could sneak up on us and give us a whooping.
While I feel our matchups, the matchups are in our favor, they are a team unlike Tyrod Taylor. Cousins is capable of getting hot and making you pay for a lot of stuff. Yeah. Now, having said that, I have no reason to believe he would have any more success. Well, he'd have slightly more success than some of these guys that we played who just really aren't great, you know, pure passers. Having said that, I still don't see the Washington Redskins just unless you beat yourself, like you said, Tomas. Unless you go in there thinking, man, we're going
to
kick the Rams. We're going to be ready for the Rams, and you're just worried about the Rams.
Exactly.
You have to stay focused. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew 97.7. Stay tuned. Hour 2 coming up. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to Hour number 2. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.